Over the past days of Christmastide, my family and I went on a road trip to the Washington, D.C. area to visit my husband's sister and her family. We entered their address into my GPS, and off we went. And about 5 hours into the driving, I asked my husband, Robert, if he wanted some relief, if I could take the wheel for a little bit. It was getting later in the afternoon, and the sun was setting, and just as it got dark, the GPS took us off the interstate. I had my husband check the GPS. Yes, it had taken us on a route through a national forest and some intense and windy rural roads. And the moon had not yet risen. There were no streetlights in this national forest to guide us, just our GPS and our headlights. So about 20 minutes into the drive, I asked my husband, Robert, if he could check the alternate routes. This was getting scary and uncertain, and our kids had woken up from their nap, and it was time for dinner. He opened the GPS, and lo and behold, we were out of range of the cell towers. This was it. We had one route and a prayer that our battery life would remain full charge, or enough charge to get us through the national forest. I imagine that it was magnified exponentially for the Magi. Follow this star that has risen all the way from your hometown in Persia to pay homage to a foreign king near Jerusalem. The journey from the heart of Persia to Jerusalem is about 765 miles. And they didn't have cars back then. They had camels, and they think that probably these Magi did take camels. But even then, it would probably take about 80 days to make the journey. And if they did it by foot with their travel gear, it could even take up to 2 years. These were pilgrims. And when they arrived to King Herod, suddenly their way got dark and uncertain, and they had lost all other safe routes. An ancient version of a cell tower being cut. The only guidance left was what they heard from King Herod and the guidance of a star. And the way looked pretty daunting. For the king they encountered was filled with maliciousness, jealousy, and rage. Come back to me and tell me where I can find him. They knew this was not the one, this King Herod they were seeking. They knew that for sure. And still ahead of them was the star that they'd seen in its rising. The ancient GPS that was the only true destination of their pilgrimage. And suddenly that star stopped, and they knew that this was the place. Now contrast King Herod with the one whom they found next. From this raging king in his palace to a baby born into poverty. A vulnerable child with his teenage mother. A family that would soon have to flee to Egypt to escape the king's treachery. Having traveled all this way by the guidance of the star, these Magi encountered Jesus and knew they had found something very real and very holy. One of my clergy colleagues, the Reverend Stephen Hassett, he serves at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in Orinda, California. He held an unconventional Christmas pageant this past year. He was attempting to get at the truth of what was going on in the story of Jesus' birth. So he changed the costumes up, because he felt that, who are we kidding, making poor attempts at first century Middle Eastern garb? So the church community just went to Goodwill. They bought 30 oversized button-down shirts, white for the angels, brown and gray for the animals, striped ones for the shepherds. They bought the shepherds' little straw pork pie hats to go along with their shirts. They did this partly because it simplified the costuming process, but they also did it to get unstuck from the false understanding that the story of Jesus' birth is an historical event, which is best told by historical depiction. Because if you look at medieval paintings of biblical scenes, they look like the medieval world. Modernity's preference for historicity actually interferes with the power of the story, which is that God comes into the world now. And my favorite part of the St. Stephen's pageant was their experience of the Magi. The Magi wore Hawaiian print shirts and animal headgear. Because, who are we kidding? The Magi were not, as the Psalm foretold, as the prophets foretold, they were not royalty. They were, as Stephen says, shamanic weirdos from another world who see things we don't, who reveal to us the corruptions and abuses of our own power structures. Amid the looming audacity of King Herod's tyrannical presence and the simple, wondrous humility of Jesus' presence, these wandering magi discovered truth, and they laid down their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, not in the reigning king's court, but in the simple house of a base-born teenage mom. These guys had to have been shamanic weirdos. Another thing that is fascinating about the Magi are the gifts they presented. In Isaiah, we heard a portion of the prophet's exaltation of Zion, that the people who will come to the presence of God shall bring gifts. They shall bring gold and frankincense, the scripture says, and they shall proclaim the praise of the Lord with those two gifts. Now, in our tradition, the Magi brought not only gold and frankincense, but also myrrh. Myrrh is costly anointing oil used to prepare a body for burial. It's also a compound used for deep healing. So the Magi brought the gift of myrrh to newborn baby Jesus, not knowing one day he would wear a crown of thorns and die so that we might know life and grace and healing. This, my friends, was a profound visitation. I had a parishioner at the last church I served who once invited my family to his home. Harry was a young and ambitious man who had just moved to Los Angeles to live the dream, and in ways he was already living it. But when it came to church, Harry had long been an outsider. Growing up in a conservative tradition, a youth pastor continually told him that his attraction to other men was wrong. Harry had encountered the hope of Jesus Christ in his childhood and in his adolescence, and at the same time, he experienced the church wielding scripture and tradition as weapons. Harry returned to the church, but he did it with great caution. In his home, there were three pieces of art that I immediately noticed. They were the centerpiece of his living room. There were three figures: Casper, Melchior, and Balthazar. He told me about them, what they meant to him. I'd never heard the names, because their names are not found in the Bible, but traditionally in the church, they are known as the three wise men since the year 500. Balthazar from Arabia, Melchior of Persia, and Casper from India. All outsiders who were drawn in to encounter the inside of the heart of God. To Harry, Casper, Melchior, and Balthazar were symbols of the corrupted power of religion overturned. These men were seekers, and they never knew the Abrahamic faith tradition. They never had a conversion to the religion of the baby they encountered that we know about. They just went back home by another road. These were people who instead experienced Jesus and had their lives transformed beyond all religious constructs can hold. The Magi represented Harry, a man who sought the heart of Jesus, who'd been turned away by the keepers of the faith in the world, and who'd ultimately encountered Jesus anyway. The art in Harry's living room represented his very real hope of encountering the light of Christ as an outsider. The Magi whom we encounter today remind us that this story is our story. It's yours and it's mine today. Whether we are deeply religious people on the inside, or skeptics sitting on the margins, or people coming here today seeking who have long been deemed or felt like the outsider, Jesus Christ came that everyone might find him. He came to enter into our hearts and to break down corrupt forces within us and without us that keep us from anything but the way of love. This is incredible, earth-shattering, life-changing good news. Everyone is welcome on the journey, and the journey cannot be contained by our constructs. No one's turned away. And though sometimes it's treacherous and the way can appear dark, the one you're seeking is the light of the world. You will ultimately not get lost. The guidance you need will always appear. If you seek it, you will find it. And if it's like today's gospel, you'll find it in a place you'd never expect that will cause great awe and wonder at its mystery and its power. And Jesus continues to transform all that lives and moves and has being. Amen.